Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 171 of the Competitive Erotic Fanfiction Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Cook, and you've found the internet's number one most trusted source for Muppet boners and horny loners. Upcoming shows include tomorrow, October 16th at the Virgil, if you're listening to this on October 15th. But today's show was also recorded at the Virgil on September 18th of this year. This is round two, featuring Peggy O'Leary, Tony Sam, Mike Drucker, and Heather Thompson, reading pieces they wrote based upon audience suggestions. First you'll hear them draw topics, then we will fast forward into the future to hear the finished pieces. Enjoy.
If I could get those suggestions, and please welcome your round two comics who will be writing based upon your suggestions, Tony Sam, Heather Thompson, Peggy O'Leary, and Mr. Mike Drucker. Clap your hands for your round two competitors all the way to the stage. Keep clapping till we have comedians on the stage, ladies and gentlemen. You keep those hands going. We got a Peggy. Where are Mike and Tony? There they are. All right. Oh, thank you so much. Here's how this part is going to work. Once I have the suggestions, I will be bringing competitors to the microphone one by one. Thank you very much, Heather. Let's start with Heather. Clap for Heather Thompson. I will draw a suggestion. If she likes it, she can take it and run with it. If she doesn't like it, I will draw a second one, and then you will all get to vote with your applause on which one she has to write. Your first option is... forthcoming. That's just a picture. Well, your first option is the Ford presidency.
Oh, I'm gonna take a second.
He wasn't even assassinated. That's boring. Well, you're gonna love this. Big Poppy David Ortiz. Baseball player David Ortiz.
History and sports are not my areas.
Can't wait. Who wants to hear the Ford presidency? Who wants to hear David Ortiz? David Ortiz it is, Heather Thompson. Clap your hands for Heather. Keep it going for Mr. Tony Sam. That's what Google's for, my dear. Your first option is Winnie the Pooh, Tony, right into that microphone.
Oh, man, that's terrific.
You take it?
Yeah, I mean, I like him.
Have fun, Tony Sam, ladies and gentlemen. Keep it going for Peggy O'Leary. Oh, wherever you want. You can go in the green room or the other bar. All right, buddy. Peggy, how do you feel about... No, we're not doing another fucking president. Jesus Christ. How do you feel about Farscape?
Woo! Well, that guy suggested it.
Yeah.
Let's do another one just because I like when the audience... You guys were terrible at this, I guess.
Ripley from Alien is your second option. So, we leave it up to you. Who wants to hear Farscape?
Woo!
Again, we know. Ripley from Alien. Peggy O'Leary, Ripley. Finally, Mr. Mike Drucker, clap your hands.
Hello, everybody.
Your first option is Sully.
Yes, all right, done.
Yeah. Wise move. Mike Drucker, keep clapping. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, your first round two competitor. Clap your hands for Heather Thompson. You can do better than that for Heather Thompson. You guys ready for round two? Take it away.
Okay. The stadium was so quiet, you could hear a pin drop or everyone's panties getting wet and the seams of the men's underwear stretching against their hardness. I learned that in one of my mom's romance novels. Helen, that's a pseudonym for me, sat on the 50-yard line, baseball team, or on a base, whatever's on the lines on the baseball field, not knowing what to do with the big bat staring her in the face. The game was so close, bottom of the ninth, it looked like the Boston Sox might lose their world specials. Or whatever it's called. David Ortiz was up to bat, and he knew a lot was riding on his big, sweaty shoulders. He was hoping to slide into home in more ways than one. but it struck out twice and was getting emotional. He turned to the crowd, one big plump tear in his eye, and said, I don't know why I can't hit it. Call Stella, I've lost my groove. Helen was only at this game because she was told there was going to see a gay man's one-person show, and there would be hot dogs. She loved putting salty meat in her mouth. David locked eyes with her and seemed to be saying, Big Poppy feels small. Make him huge again. As a theater nerd, Helen typically avoided jocks. She just couldn't get wet for anyone who might have been mean to her in high school. But something about those big brown Dominican eyes made her say, we gotta get Big Poppy's bat going. That's a euphemism. The bat's his penis. She stood up and got the crowd cheering, get Poppy hard, get him hard. And she entered the field and gathered the team in a huddle and said, I'm a star, I don't do fluff, get him going. The whole team started gently stroking David's cock while one of the players rubbed his shoulders in case he was tense. His cock started getting so huge. How huge was it? It started bulging out his tight white Red Sox uniform. At this point, Wally the Green Monster, the mascot, shouted, I found that out on Google, shouted, free the beast, and went and ripped off Big Poppy's bottom uniform, otherwise known as his pants. He started sucking that chocolate dick like doing so meant his dumb job as a mascot would actually get him health benefits rather than the bucket of cotton candy they sent him home with every night. The whole crowd was cheering, blow that load over the fences. Helen went... inspirational sports psychology poetry and playing with his nips. He was rock hard and pre-coming like his days in Little League before the sport became about the money. He shouted, now, dick out, and told the pitcher to throw him a good one. He knocked that ball with his penis all the way past the outfield and all the way into Maine. Then he started running the bases with his boner flying everywhere. So many people almost lost an eye. Then he slid into home, both literally and figuratively, because he started putting his dick in everybody. Helen, some of the bi-curious players, a lot of lonely women who would run down to the field salivating at the sight of him, and then pretty much everybody. He fucked everybody in the whole stadium, shouting, Big Poppy wins the World Series sexuals!
Heather Johnson. Who else is ready, round two? We got Tony Sam, ladies and gentlemen. Clap your hands for Tony Sam.
You're not going to want to miss this.
Oh, you just can't drink. Don't worry.
All right, this is called The Plow of Poo. Oh. See, you guys know the Plow of Poo. It made sense. All right, here we go. Sorry. To say it was hot in Hundred Acre Wood that day would be the understatement of the century. A heat wave had rolled in to put the final punctuation on the worst drought the forest had ever seen. This wood needed to get wet. In more ways than one. Pooh Bear was busy in the kitchen, putting honey in jars or whatever the fuck Pooh Bears do when the phone rang. Hello? That fat slobo fuck of a bear slobbered into the receiver.
Yes, it's Piglet. I'm afraid my pipes have burst, and I need some help stopping this leak.
there's water everywhere, and I'm afraid I've become quite moist. Oh, say no more, young piglet. You know how plump that moist word gets me. I'll be right over with my tool, you know. Which one I'm talking about, of course. My bear dick. I'm bragging about my bear dick, and I'm bringing it. Okay. I think. Got it. Pooh Bear slammed down the fucking receiver and grabbed as many jars of honey as he could. He was going to fuck Piglet on it. What? Oh, no, no. Here, let's read that again. He slammed down the receiver and grabbed as many jars of honey as he could. He wasn't going to fuck Piglet on an empty stomach. That would be suicide.
That's better.
That fat sack of sweaty fat threw on his best half shirt and started a running. His big bear dick a flip-flopping in the breeze as he ran. He looked down for a second to admire his cartoony cock, when who should he stumble upon other than Eeyore and Tigger? Ooh-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Watch where you're running, fat ass! The striped, curly-tailed cuckold shouted. You almost killed Eeyore with that furry dragon slayer hanging about! Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see you there. You see, I'm in a hurry to get over to Piglet's to make a little bacon. Hee hee. Oh, pork in this heat? Why, that's crazy! Nobody ever wants to fuck me. You to give me a dick lick when that stupid bear fuck stumbled in. Just my luck. Feeling bad, Pooh thought quick. Well, Piglet's very wet right now, and his plumbing is gushing all over the place. Maybe you could come along and we could all fuck him together. Why, that's the first thing you've said today that made a lick of sense! Can I be a bottom? Of course! Oh boy, we're in! And together they went, pulling each other along by the dicks to make sure they were ready for Piglet when they got there. I don't want to hold it. Of course, Tigger was always two steps ahead and had sent a text to Christopher Robin, instructing him to bring his camera. By the time they got there, Christopher had already been doing a final light check, and the camera was rolling. I thought you guys would never get here. I don't have a voice for him. What would you like it to be? I thought you guys would never get here. This pig is so wet it should be illegal. Pooh says, it probably is. With all these water restrictions in place, you know, because of the drought. Oh well, I'm hard as a rock. Suddenly, Piglet jumped back.
Pooh! I'm afraid I think you have the wrong idea. I have a water leak, and I was hoping you could fix it.
Pooh and the rest of the group stopped rubbing honey all over their dicks and assholes long enough to throw Piglet a look that screamed, "What the fuck?" Pooh slowly stroked his cock as he grabbed Piglet by the fucking stupid pig throat. And I whispered into his ear ever so tenderly, "Oh, I'm afraid it doesn't work that way, Porky. You see, it's very hot, and I'm horny, and all this honey on my dick will go to waste. Besides, a disappointment like this could throw Eeyore into a suicidal spiral. That fucker's depressed." And then he lubed Piglet up completely, straightened him out like a rod, and jammed him up Eeyore's ass. "That feels nice, I guess," Eeyore shouted. Mustering up as much excitement as he could. And Tigger liked it too. The faster Pooh Bear pulled Piglet in and out of Eeyore's brown sorrow pit. I like that one. The more engorged his curly Q penis tail became. That's right, it's a penis tail. "Ooh-hoo-hoo-hoo! I'm ready to get a little poo on this 100-acre wood!" Yeah. Pooh didn't even see it coming. "Arg! Arg! Arg!" Pooh screamed, because Tigger's barber pole cock had hit his cum button. And that's then what happened next. No one ever saw it coming. Nobody. Pooh's pecker had become a fire hose of life ooze. Piglet's... Yeah, I know. It's going to take a weird turn. We had to wrap it up somehow. Piglet's home quickly filled with the sweet elixir. One by one, they all drowned to death. And Pooh's cum. Don't worry, Piglet had already suffocated long ago in Eeyore's asshole. So pity him not. The rest of those bastards had it coming. As the cum eventually burst out the door and into the woods, their lifeless bodies spilled out one by one, their eyes glazed over with sperm and death. But fret not. That cum revitalized the forest. And much of the fruit we eat today is a result of it. So the next time you gobble on an orange or a pomegranate, take a moment to savor Pooh's revitalizing cum, you filthy whores. Thank you.
Tony Sam. Micah and Peggy. We got Peggy O'Leary. Keep clapping for Peggy O'Leary.
Wow, how do you follow that?
Jesus. Who killed everyone but then made us alive? I love that. It's like a Jesus story. I had real. Okay. Ellen Ripley is tired. She's sweaty, she's bruised. And frankly, she's horny. Her crew's dead, and she's headed back home. She knows that stupid fucking alien is definitely dead. There's no chance he's still on that fucking ship. And then she thought about it. He was pretty manly for an alien. Strong, tough, real fighter. You get it. So she puts the ship on autopilot and she begins to unbutton her pants. Hey, nobody's around. It's been months since I got to flick the old bean. Her words, not mine. She realizes her hands are dirty and bloody and she decides, oh God, gross. I don't want to fucking finger myself in my own hands. And then she remembers, fuck, we're all out of hand wash. Because that fucking crew, frankly, they were monsters, and they didn't know how to preserve anything, you know? She was glad they were dead. At that, she realizes the joystick is exactly what she needs. So she takes off her pants. She climbs up and she stands above that joystick. It feels like it's like too good right now. You guys are like wet or something. I'm weirded out. And then she laughs to herself. Whoever named that really fucking knew what he was doing. He definitely knew someone would use that for a joy. She lowers herself. God, this feels creepy. She gets wetter just thinking about it. Coming. Oh my God, how fucking cool am I? I'm a goddamn hero. I'm a fucking female icon. Little girls will know my fucking name and rejoice at my fucking badassery. Fucking saved humankind. And that her wet pussy, mounts the stick. It's cold, but she enjoys it. She's riding that like a 13-year-old boy humping his couch. She's about to come. She's thinking, holy shit, this is the fastest I've ever come. Who knew being confident and sure of herself is how you get wet? That's crazy. I'm a come by myself. I'm a woman, goddammit. And she hears rustling, and she sees the alien is in the fucking alien there. He's watching her. I lost my place. Hold on. So the alien's there, and she was just about to climax, and she looks over. She's about to jump off and attack when she sees he looks a little horny himself. Well, he is rubbing his nipples, what she thinks are his nipples he's rubbing. She turns towards him, still mounted and riding that stick. Alien makes a noise. She doesn't know or understand what he said. But she knows it's sexy. He seductively crawls towards her. She takes her shirt off. Ooh, her nips are super hard. God, this is weird. This is the weirdest bomb of my life. I hope my mom listens. You're a bad alien, aren't you? The alien tosses its sexy hair. Well, it doesn't have hair, but like tosses its head around like as if it had hair, you know? Like it's a model and not like a gross, disgusting alien that she's kind of weirdly attracted to, because it kind of looks like men, because aren't they really gross if you think about it? Like, you know? It's like, why are we so attractive? You know what I mean? You can stick anything up there. It's crazy. Why is it gotta be a man? And at that, a face hugger walks in. But Ripley says, oh baby, you about to be my pussy hugger. I'm sorry, sir, who seems like he's upset at me. At that, the pussy hugger jumps up and surrounds Ripley's puss. Alien seems jealous, so he crawls fast and mounts Ripley. She thinks, oh no, a little devil penetration. What every feminist wants deep down. The pussy hugger does, of course, impregnate her. She comes the fastest she's ever come in her life. She never knew being a strong, independent woman could get her off. But also, two dicks. It's weird. So, as a feminist, she's upset. But as a lady, she's pretty excited. The end.
Thank you, O'Leary.
Thank you.
And your final competitor, Mr. Mike Drucker. Hey, everybody. Oh, thank you. That's very nice. The passengers of U.S. Airlines Flight 1549 boarded the plane at LaGuardia Airport. In the cockpit, Captain Sully Sullenberger sat with his first officer, Jeffrey Skiles. The instrument looks good, Captain, first Captain Skiles said. Good, now suck it. First Captain Skiles opened his mouth, just like he had any morning with U.S. Airlines. Ever since 9/11, first officers have been required to suck off or eat out, because representation matters, the captain of flights. It didn't have anything to do with 9/11. FAA officials just felt it was a good time to make a few changes. A flight attendant walked into the cockpit.
A flight attendant walked into the cockpit. "Excuse me, Captain Sully," she said. "What the fuck is wrong with you, Cantorino, you fucking idiot? Do you know not to interrupt us, cocksucking? And it could ruin the entire flight? You want to kill everyone on this fucking flight? By my salt mustache, you cursed us to death, you fucking timeless hag!" "I'm sorry, but we have geese reported around the airport. Real motherfuckers with big geese dicks." Because the writer of this story didn't have time to research if geese do have dicks or not, or if they have, like, cloacas. But we're gonna go with dicks for this story. "You fucking comrade, you talk to me about geese? I fucked geese in Vietnam and wrote a letter to my wife about it. You get the fuck out of my cockpit unless you got some liquor or some young pussy." First Captain Jeffrey Skiles looked up. "Is there something wrong, Captain?" "Oh shit, Jeffrey, it's not you. Interruptions make me mad, and when I get mad, I get soft. Fuck." And then Captain Jeffrey Skiles said, "It's perfectly normal. It happens to everyone." So First Captain Jeffrey Skiles gave it a soft kiss on the head like a soldier did his best. Like a soldier that was just a young man in Vietnam fucking young geese. Sully looked into the distance. Suddenly he was 40 years ago, so far away, but so close to every moment. Sully shook off the sensation of down on his dick. "Let's go. You got any cocaine?" Sully did a line, half of the cocaine getting caught in his mustache. "A little for later," he said. The flight attendant knocked on the door. "Everyone seated, Captain." "Motherfucking Katrina! Get the fuck out of my cockpit before I check you like the oversized baggage you are, you piece of shit in a piece of shit dress with dreams of being a dancer that died when your dad died." "Thank you, Captain." The flight attendant left. Sully got on the speaker. Passengers of different races and genders looked up all at once. There's also probably someone with their headphones on, ignoring it, or holding a baby just to show how normal this flight was. "Listen, you fat fucks, this is Sully. Listen, you fat fucks going to funerals like anyone gives a shit. Every day you get on these fucking planes and you whine and complain and you act like you matter. Wah, I don't have enough overhead storage. What are you gonna bring? You have nothing. Your life is meaningless in the grand scheme of existence. Every memory you have is a lie and every moment you experience has no effect on the world. And guess what, bass players? We like breaking your guitars. Because if you were real musicians, you would be flying coach on US Airlines." The plane took off. "Fucking A," said First Captain Jeffrey Skiles. Sully looked at him like he asked him to talk. "I'm sorry." Jeffrey Skiles goes, "What's that? Don't make me repeat myself." "No," the First Captain Jeffrey Skiles said. "What's that?" He pointed to the window. There was a goose looking in the cockpit. And, he had a giant dick and a giant asshole. "Son of a bitch," said Sully. He hadn't seen that asshole in 40 years. 40 long years, a village on fire, young man, lost and afraid, fucking a goose because Lyndon Johnson had lied to a generation. A young man fucking a goose because it was the only control he had anymore. "Huh?" said the goose. It did a cut motion across his throat with its wing. "Is that how it is? After all this time," said Sully. The goose ain't nodded. "Meeting an old enemy is a lot like meeting an old friend. You both shared something, and that time is gone. But the emotions left behind by getting aggressively fucked by Sullenberger never leave you." "Yeah, honk," said Sully. He pulled out his dick. "Honk on this!" The geese gestured back to dozens of other geese behind him. He pointed at the engine. Sully whispered, "You motherfucker." The geese flew into the engine. Boom! The flight attendant came into the cockpit. "Sir, we've got engine failure. Katrina, I told you to never talk to me again, you stupid piece of shit. I wish you had died instead of your dad, which is what your mom said to me last night when I fucked her toothless pussy." Sully First Captain Jeffrey Skiles said, "Toothless pussy." Sully didn't have time. The goose was pointing at the other engine like a big dick Babe Ruth with feathers, but also not really like Babe Ruth at all. The flight attendant spoke again. "Sir, you have to do something." Sully smiled. "Oh, I am." He picked up the flight attendant and threw her through the cockpit window, shattering it outward and sending her to her death. "Say hi to your dad in hell, bitch." You guys really didn't like her dying, and I understand that. Sully climbed out onto the front of the plane. The wind whipped his face. He hadn't felt this alive in 40 years. "Huh? You want Sully, you goose shit? You got Sully!" The goose swung his dick like nunchucks. Sully pulled out his cock. It was harder than it had been since he fathered his two daughters, Sandy and Amanda Sullenberger. "Huh? You gonna honk or you gonna fuck?" Their dicks slammed into each other with enough force to drive the other geese away. Every window on the plane shattered from the force. Sully was knocked down onto the front of the plane outside as it fell. He was sure lucky he wore his magnetic boots today. The goose took advantage of the situation and rubbed his dick across Sully's face. The goose forced his dick towards Sully's mouth. He struggled against it. Sparks flew in the sky like fireworks over Saigon 40 years ago. Screams emerged from the plane. "I don't have time for this," Sully said. He grabbed the goose by the neck. The goose suddenly got scared. "Oh, it's too late to say sorry. You can fuck me, but you can't fuck the hard-earned reputation of US Airlines." Sully turned the goose around to shove his dick up its ass, which is also, I'm also assuming a goose has an ass. I did not research this. Huh? That's right, baby. Spread it to me. The goose understood. It spread its wings. Sully fucked harder. Spread it more! Huh? The goose spread its wings more. It was working. The plane was slowing its descent. The goose's wings were giving the plane the lift it needed. The plane slowly descended, accidentally clipping the still in construction Freedom Tower and knocking it down. A New Yorker on the ground said, oh brother, not again. Still, Sully, fuck Carter! I did motherfucking spread it! Huh? From inside the plane, First Captain Jeffrey Scott said, it's working! His big dick is a miracle! Sully concentrated. If he came now, it would be a disaster. He can imagine that bitch flight attendant throughout the window. Thinking about her could keep a 13-year-old boyfriend coming. Steady, hold it, almost there. Huh? Yeah, I knew you'd like it. Boom! Sully came harder than he'd ever come before. He came so hard, he thought back to Vietnam. He thought back to Tex Mitchell and Steve Reynolds and Reggie Mujica and everyone else in the 5th Platoon who had died after the last goose fucking party. For years, Sully had questioned why he was the only survivor. Now he knew why. The goose exploded off his dick, giving it a force to gently land the plane onto the Hudson. Sully's jizz flew backwards, going into the open windows of the plane and hitting every goddamn baby on the plane in the face. As the rescue crews came to bring the passengers off U.S. Airlines Flight 1549, Sully smiled to himself. Now that's what you call a water landing.
Mike Trucker. You stay right here, Mike. Let's get everybody from round two back to the stage. All right, once again, I'm going to remind you of what everybody read, and then we will vote on a winner. We started with Heather Thompson with David Ortiz, then Tony Sam with Winnie the Pooh, Peggy O'Leary with Ripley from Alien, and finally Mike Drucker with Sully. Pick a favorite, starting with Heather Thompson, David Ortiz. Tony Sam, Winnie the Pooh. Peggy O'Leary, Ripley from Alien. And Mike Drucker with Sully.
Your round two champion, Mr. Mike Drucker. Big round of applause for all your competitors this evening.
That does it for round two. To hear round one from this show, you can go back and download episode 170. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and rate us on iTunes. It's a big help, as are positive comments. And for details on upcoming shows, you can follow me on Twitter at Brian Cooking or the show at CE Fanfic. See you next time.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.